Answers Magazine, Volume 6.4, page 32. Was filet mignon on Eden's menu? By Ken Ham. Today, many Christian leaders argue that the fossil record preceded Adam by millions of years. How does this view stack up against Scripture? In an effort to squeeze millions of years into the Bible, many Christians today are turning on its head what the Bible teaches about Adam, the Garden of Eden, the first animal's diet, and death's entry into the world. As more and more Christian leaders promote theistic, God-directed evolution, believers need to understand the plain teaching of Scripture. Origin of death, Adam's sin. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. To the average Christian, the Bible's depiction of death seems pretty straightforward. Death is an enemy. In other words, it is an intrusion into this once perfect world. We take comfort knowing that in the future, death will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Also, God promises that one day there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. That's what we would expect from a good God who created a perfect world. At the end of the sixth day of creation, God saw everything He had made, and indeed, it was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Yet we live in a world of life and death, joy and sorrow, love and hate, all at the same time. Only the history revealed in Genesis explains such a seemingly contradictory world. What happened? As a test of obedience, God commanded the first man, Adam, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. In the saddest day in the history of the universe, Eve ate of the fruit and gave it to her husband, who also ate. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. As a result, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Adam's death was physical, a return to dust. What is the nature of this death? In an attempt to downplay the historical account of Adam, many Christian leaders want to explain away the Bible's first references to death. But the Bible is clear. The path that entered the human race wasn't only spiritual death, separation from God, but physical death. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read where life came from. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then God's judgment on sin took away that life. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. This definition of death as a return to dust is confirmed in the New Testament. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and we have borne the image of the man of dust. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 through 49. Job also referred to death in this way. A man would return to dust. Job chapter 34, verse 15. A minister once said to me, "I believe the dust referred to in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, represents the animal, ape-like creature God used to form man." My response was, "Well, the Bible states we return to dust when we die, so what animal do we return to when we die?" No, when a human dies, that person's body returns to dust. Another church leader once said to me something like, "I believe dust to Adam represents molecules to man, evolution." I then replied, "Well, what does the Bible mean when it says Adam's rib was made into Eve?" Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. But what does this have to do with filet mignon? Bear with me. Adam and Eve were real flesh and blood humans. This fact of history, that the first woman was made from the man, is confirmed in the New Testament. For instance, man is not from woman, but woman from man, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, and woman came from man, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, Adam describes another specific detail about his wife's physical existence. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Adam's claim is confirmed in two New Testament passages. Quoting Genesis chapter 2, Jesus concludes that all married couples are no longer two, but one flesh. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. Paul also quotes the Genesis account of Adam and Eve's union in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Even Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, references Genesis chapter 2 concerning Adam and Eve, who were one flesh. Did he not make them one? What does all this have to do with filet mignon? Continue to bear with me, and it'll become obvious soon. The above is just a summary of scripture verses to help substantiate that Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are to be taken as literal history, established in other parts of God's Word, especially the New Testament. Adam and Eve were the first two people, real people in history, and the fall was a literal event. Now, to Adam's diet. Original diet, vegetarian. God told Adam to eat of every herb-bearing seed and fruit trees, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. He was originally vegetarian. Some object that God doesn't say he couldn't eat animal flesh, but this objection is easily dealt with by God's words to Noah after the flood. "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. We could paraphrase, "Just as I have given you the plants to eat, now I have given you all things, everything." This substantiates that Adam's diet was vegetarian. Not until after the flood did God allow humans to eat animals. So Adam certainly did not eat filet mignon before the fall. And if Adam obeyed God, he did not eat filet mignon after the fall. But how do you respond to Christians who don't believe that all this stuff about Adam's diet applies to the animal world? Genesis chapter 1, verse 30, written in the same way as Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, refers specifically to the animals. "Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. Just as humans were vegetarian originally, the animals were also vegetarian. Before the fall, animals didn't eat animals. Animals didn't eat humans. And humans didn't eat animals. Yet the fossil record, which secularists claim represent millions of years of Earth's history before the first man, includes examples of carnivory. Bones from animals in the stomachs of other animals, fish swallowing fish, and teeth marks on bones. The fossil record also includes diseases, such as tumors and arthritis. The fossil record also contains thorns. If animals were vegetarian before Adam's sin, how could animals be killing animals for millions of years before Adam? If God declared his creation very good before Adam's sin, how can it include cancer and other diseases? If thorns came after the curse, after Adam's sin in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, how could thorns exist already? Romans chapter 8, verse 22, written in the context of the fall's effects, tells us, "We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." There is no way a Christian can logically and consistently allow for millions of years of animal death, violence, and disease before Adam's sin. No, most of the fossil record is the graveyard of the flood of Noah's day. God created a perfect world. But the world we live in today, with all its disease, death, and violence, resulted from sin. It did not exist this way for millions of years. Taking Genesis as literal history makes it obvious that animals and humans did not die until after Adam's sin. Death is not very good. In fact, death is an enemy. Adam didn't eat filet mignon, nor did any of the animals on earth, until after sin. Ken Ham, a former public school science teacher, is the founder and president of Answers in Genesis USA. He has edited and authored many books about the authority of God's Word and the impact of evolutionary thinking on our culture, including the recent bestseller, Already Gone.